Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Days are you gonna wait before you're tired and knocked down? How many days is it gonna take to decide to walk away now?
Everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about 90 Day Fiancé's latest season. It's Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 1, aka 9 couples. 4 of them we've seen before, it feels like, this last season. And then 2 that we don't want to see, but we're gonna. And Silver Linings Edition, we're gonna keep it positive as much as we can. I'm, of course, your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Wizan Vakili, ready to break things down. And with me, to kick things off for this season of 90 Day is the one and only Brian Christopher Scally. Scally, how you doing?
Hello. You know, I almost started describing the thirst trap that was me opening into this podcast, but I couldn't go through with it. It was just every couple on this episode opened with a thirst trap of at least one of them to introduce them to the storyline here.
Yeah, they really leaned in on the we're back and we're hot. Like, that was kind of the feeling I got getting reintroduced to half these couples.
Yeah, I didn't need like a close up on Emily's toes to start the episode, but that's where we are.
Yeah. Do you need a close up of Jasmine sucking Gino's toes?
No, not that. This is why I'm strictly anti preview.
You finally feel vindicated.
Yeah, exactly. How dare you subject me?
Well, this is a wild situation we find ourselves in, Scally, because tonight we're going to be talking about 5 couples. Okay. There are still 4 other couples that were not introduced in episode 1. And of the total 9 couples, 3 of them were on this previous season of 90 Day Fiancé.
It's wild. I mean, I feel like with the previous Happily Ever After series, do you remember how many were on that season? Because I did get a little burnt out on many of the couples pretty quickly, so I think having 9 is probably good, so at least I can avoid some of them a good amount of the time. But because introducing with these 5, I don't feel quite burnt out, even if we just saw 3 of them.
Yeah, season 7 of Happily Ever After, we had so the cast in total was Angela Michael, of course, Elizabeth and Andre. We had Jovi and Yara. We had Big Ed and Liz. We had Jenny and Sumit, Kim and Usman. And that was the mainstays of the season.
Okay. So we have, what, 2 more this season than last? So
I believe we had 1 more couple. We had Bilal and Shaida as well. Oh, okay. And I think they were the couple that had just came from the other season back to back.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about how there are, you know, returning couples from last season, this season. I don't know if you want to do this now or later in the podcast after we have introduced who is back, but I'm almost curious, like, were there better picks on the board from the last, like, season of Happily Ever After, the last season of 90 Day Fiancé? I think it's worth looking at least.
I mean, we could definitely discuss it now because, I mean, truthfully, the fact that the three of the five couples in this episode we had just talked about for months, I feel like there's not a lot to add on that, on them. So yeah, it might be shorter on that side. However, as far as couples from other seasons or seeing them come back from Happily Ever After, I would say Jenny and Sumit should have been back, which is ironic because I remember not liking that they were on every season before. But now that we've made it known that, hey, you can be on all the Happily Ever Afters pretty much, I would take them 10 times over an Angela and Michael, obviously. Oh, yeah. And then over Big Ed and Liz as well. So you could have told me anyone else from that cast of season 7. I would have been like, okay, any of them to replace. I also would have loved then Elizabeth and Andre. I feel like they're always just drama, but not in a way that makes me feel icky after.
That I agree with. I'm okay. They had a big, long stretch on Happily Ever After that I'm okay with taking a break.
The two couples I just cited, they were both on forever on the show. This is like their first gap year almost.
Exactly. I do feel like there have been some like developments with Sumit and Jenny, and who knows how much that is just like them breadcrumbing 90 Day Fiancé into their lives. I'm excited for when they eventually come back. Now, as of the couples that were just on the last season of 90 Day, I don't know if it's just because I already know who's here. I guess maybe they're the right picks, but could have gone with almost all of them for a little longer away.
I feel like for me, Gino and Jasmine, ironically enough, after not wanting them back on the last season, I'm okay with seeing them here because they're just going to continue giving us, again, drama and heated moments that make no sense that we can poke fun at. But then I could have done without Sophie and Rob, and I could have definitely done without Ashley and Manuel. I feel like there wasn't a lot more to add for me there, and here we are.
That I agree with, but I'm also looking at the other options and like Sam and Citra, like like Clayton and Anna Lee, like maybe they did a good job casting. I don't know. We'll wait and see.
We'll wait and see for sure. But truly a very interesting cast they've slapped together here for season 8 of Happily Ever After. Okay, so we decided off pod that it would make sense to kick off with the three couples that we have just been talking about extensively before we dive into probably the juicier information, which is couples we haven't seen or thought about in a while, and getting the update on them. Because what I found, and I want to know what your thoughts are on this, Gally, the Happily Ever After format is they don't have a timeline. So there's no like 10 days before the wedding or anything like that. It's not a different country, so the season premiere isn't them getting ready to travel typically. It's just us getting thrusted into their lives, but also we got like full introduction packages like we haven't just watched them for months.
That was what was so strange. I mean, it I feel like is great for a newcomer to the series where there's one couple that has not actually been introduced, but like that I have not gotten to watch on 90 Day Fiancé before. And so I'm excited for when I get like their full, summary. But for the ones who were just here, it feels very repetitive considering we're getting this rundown of their relationship, which I am also noticing is not wholly accurate either in some cases. So it can feel repetitive and also like they're gaslighting me at the same time.
Yeah, and I feel like it's the culture of the binge, the streaming platforms now, where if I was not tapped into 90 Day and let's say 2 years down the line, I just randomly threw this on, I would need the backstory because I'm not watching them in sequential order. Because actually, I'm very curious for people who have been following 90 Day or have independently went on a binging spree to watch 90 Day. Do you look up what the timeline is of, okay, so 90 Day Fiancé proper was on, and then it was Happily Ever After, or do you just binge Happily Ever Afters back to back to back? You know what I mean? I'm curious how people will do it.
Well, when I was much more overwhelmed about jumping in because I'm very much a completionist. And so I don't remember if it was you or Liana that sent me like a here is the like, you know, watching guide to the 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, I have a Reddit post that I would send people, which had like all of them in order of their release dates.
Yeah, I think that honestly, one of the most successful YouTube ideas that I don't know that's taken is someone should just do like, give me the timeline of all the like biggest 90 Day Fiancé couples so that if I have never seen Gino and Jasmine and I want the quick like, who are they before I jump into this next season, I can get that. I think that that is untapped potential. I'm not going to do it, but someone should.
Yeah, you don't quite have that super cut edit on a YouTube that you would get for, let's say, a Survivor player or Big Brother player if you were to dive into a season with a returnee there to be like, oh, here are Dan Gieseling's best moments. And you're like, okay, let me watch this to get an idea of who this man is. Exactly. I know that on Discovery Plus, they do have the 90 Day Journey series, which I believe they have it separated to like couple, like exclusively following one couple's story. But I've never watched them to see exactly how it looks.
It's honestly ideal. I do feel like, though, that they have touched on a lot of couples who I know their stories fairly well already.
Yes.
And I want the ones who I am like going in blind on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's extremely fair, honestly. But so in order to kick it off, we're going to start with a couple that we're not unfamiliar with. And that's Gino and Jasmine. Okay. Wow. So Gino and Jasmine, obviously, they ended last season having gotten married. And now they're potentially looking at having a baby. Everything sounds like it's in a good spot. We pick up with them. They're at their honeymoon, Scally. And this is not the typical honeymoon you might expect. They're going out. They're doing a camping getaway. Still in Michigan, I believe. But also, this is not like a glamping experience. It's not like a lavish camping experience.
Oh, very much not. I mean, it's funny when you open up on the pontoon boat, Jasmine is wearing a bikini that I think is sized for a Polly Pocket. It is definitely
the American flag.
Yes. You know, she is very much embracing the experience of living in America. She actually does really like it and can see herself raising her kids here. But for a honeymoon, this is not the spot.
No. Well, she was like, why did you not get a yacht? Because this is not the boat I would like, which is very fair. We do learn that the reason why we've got this budget boat and also the camping experience is because they spent way too much money on the wedding and Gino would like to save some money.
Sounds about right. I like a pontoon boat. I'll go out on one. Someone invite me. But I can understand for a honeymoon why when the campground says, oh, you're our first honeymoon. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that woman was really like, you're our first. And the look Jasmine gave to this man of I told you so. Like, you know, he got an earful after for this decision.
During, before, after, like, I think that Gino's going to be paying for this one for a long time, but it looked like for like a weekend getaway, this looked fun. And if you're in a position where this is what you could do for your honeymoon, and maybe they get to do like a second honeymoon later when they've saved and spent their money on the things that they need to, like, then cool, fun, it looks fine, but not for Jasmine.
Listen, I'll say this. I don't think Jasmine was absolutely super against this honeymoon. She seemed like she was willing to make the most of it when she said, hey, I'm ovulating. Let's make a baby in this pontoon right now.
To which I thought Gino was going to have a heart attack.
Just falls overboard.
Yeah. Face beat red immediately. He's like, oh, my God, people could see us. Like, honestly, I thought was like, okay, this is what I expect for Gino to say, like, absolutely not. I could never do something like this. But he says, like, well, just not now. I was like, why not now? But you will later. I'm a little confused about.
Well, then she was like, you brought the blue pills, right? He's like, yeah, I actually packed them, which to me sounded like he has, you know, accidentally forgot them before or something. He's like, yeah, no, I actually packed them. She's like, good, take three tonight. I was like, oh my God, three?
My God.
All night.
What is the dosage for that this man needs?
That is, I don't know.
A problem. Is that how they work even? Like, if you take three, is it going to be more effective or is it just going to like ruin your body? I truly
see. I'm not well versed in the blue pill community department business. Okay, did you just say congratulations,
baby?
Wow. That being said, the knowledge I have on blue pill or Viagra or erection pills or whatever you want to call them is that I know that on sitcoms and movies, which should not ever be your source for medical stuff like this, but the adage is always, if it lasts more than 4 hours, go to the hospital. And I don't know how long duration-wise one would give you, but I have a feeling you're not meant to take three. If you're not supposed to take more than like one ibuprofen at a time, I highly doubt you should be taking three of these in one go.
Yeah. Like if they compound like 12 hours, good luck, you know.
No, definitely not. And I do think that this was more so in jest from her. Like, all right, take three because we're gonna do this tonight. But even still, when Jasmine tries to find the optimism in a vacation, Gino's the first one to be like, no, people can see us.
Yeah, he says that they can later, and he's like, I'm down for stuff like this, you know. In our tent where it's closed, no one can see us. Like, that doesn't sound like this anymore, Gino.
Well, that's the thing too, because I don't know, because initially when they were walking into the room to get their keys or their lot for camping, it looked like there was like a trailer parking area in the front. So I thought, are they staying in trailers? Turns out, no, they've got their own spot. But I don't know how much gap there is in between the spots, because I would almost argue if these are all very close knit, you would have had more privacy on the boat, despite people may potentially having been able to see you.
Oh, easy. I mean, I'd be upset if I was the pontoon boat's owner and found out later. But otherwise, I think easily you are further from other families.
Yeah, she did say, I've seen places like this in a horror movie. Like the woods, dark, late night. Yeah, potentially I could see that as well.
Yeah, people are always getting murdered in places like this in the movies, Jasmine says. So understandable.
Well, then she also was like, I'm not getting in the water. I'm not going to get eaten by a crocodile. I was like, look, there's no crocodiles here. She's like, I am not going in there. That's not happening.
You know, I feel like it's always like a wives' tale with like every lake of like, oh, the person that released crocodiles up here. But
yeah,
safe, they're fine.
Ultimately, to go back to one of the main things that we learned in this story is that Jasmine and Gino are looking to have a child. Jasmine is currently ovulating and she would like to get pregnant, but also she does tell us that in the past she's had issues getting pregnant. And also one of the reasons that Gino's old marriage didn't work out is because his ex couldn't have a child. So she's kept this from him because she doesn't want to hurt him or scare him away. And immediately this felt like a remix of every other season where with Gino and Jasmine, every season there's a new, I can't tell him this and I can't tell her this. So this season we found what that one is.
That's what I was going to say, because I do think that every season with Gino and Jasmine is they come in, Gino doesn't want sex, then they get really horny, and then they make up, but Jasmine or Gino both have secrets, and then they learn the lesson of that you shouldn't hide secrets from each other, and they have one last thing they have to tell them, they tell them, and they're all good. And then the next season, we start over at the beginning, and the same exact thing happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jasmine was like, I have one last secret. Dane paid for my butt implants. And now here's one last secret, which like is very serious. And I understand like why like this might be hard for Jasmine to talk about. Mm-hmm. And it is like definitely something that I think is like a issue only made worse by society and like pressures, and you know, probably made even more difficult when Gino is so enthusiastic about having a child. But when you look at it in the I'm not going to hold any more secrets, it is like I'm raising an eyebrow.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I think of all the secrets, this is probably one of the biggest impacting ones to the relationship, especially because if having a child together is a deal, not having a child together is a deal breaker, then yeah, this is definitely a conversation that needs to be had early. But also I understand how tough it would be to have a conversation like this, especially with the amount of stress your relationship is going through with first long distance and then you moving here, assimilating, then all the fights, then the family drama. Like there's so many other things y'all had to tackle before you got to this point. And but now that they're looking to try to have a child, it's a different story. So we'll see when that conversation comes up. The other big thing we do hear and we kind of see mentioned in the this season on at the end of the episode is that Jasmine's going to actively be pushing and reminding Gino that her children are supposed to come to the States.
Yep. The timeline, I believe they said, was that they're thinking in 6 months. But I also know that Gino has promised timelines that weren't necessarily realistic before with, you know, legal processes in the U.S. So I don't know what is accurate and how far they actually have discussed this.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, things I would like to get answered in this season for Gino and Jasmine. Number one with a bullet is, so is Gino back to work now? Because last season, we learned that he had left his job so that he could be there for Jasmine and, you know, help her move into her life in the U.S. more smoothly, which I respected. But also I was like, those savings are going to run out soon. And if the wedding spent a lot of money, now y'all are back to saving some money. Are you back to work? Yes or no?
Yeah, I do wonder if that will change. I believe that was discussed when she was like, we should start looking for a bigger house and that he has to get a job. I don't know if she just meant like a different one or what, but I don't believe that we've had change in employment. I truly don't think they put the cameras down from the last season and they just kept filming.
It really doesn't feel like it. Yeah. The bigger house thing was hilarious too, because Gino is not leaving this house.
Oh,
he's attached. This is his
he was house. Attached to a napkin. We're not moving to another house.
Right. So we'll see how that plays out for him and her. So while we ponder that in the upcoming weeks, let's move on over to another couple that was on 90 Day Fiancé last season. That's Sophie and Rob Scally, a couple that I'm very much not excited to see, but let's see if we can make the most of it here. So we had learned in the tell-all that Sophie and Rob had moved to Austin, Texas. And I thought, okay, they moved. They have a bathroom now. Gains, goals, they're making it. This is awesome. But the episode opens up with Sophie staying at her friend Kay's house.
Yeah, with like no context given right away. I mean, it's like, thanks for letting me stay here since I've been like with Rob, like the things that are the way they are with Rob. And I was like, so is Sophie and Kay the couple on this season? Which I think is a question that gets brought up later. But the show doesn't make it like super, super clear right away. But because I had looked at the casting for this season, but then like a month goes by and then I forget. So to see Sophie and Rob back on a show called Happily Ever After, I think is questionable for sure. But yet here we are.
Well, and yeah, and they opened the episode, like, you know how they usually have the intro video of them like kind of doing a little movement and their name and age and their location or whatever. It was her alone. And I thought, okay, if this is they broke up and she's doing her life solo, I'm going to be very mad. Not because I have anything against Sophie, but because this is not the single life.
Yeah.
Like, this is supposed to be Happily Ever After. What's going on? Very quickly, we learned that they're still together. But for the last 2 months, she has not seen him, talked to him, and has been living with her friend Kay in Austin.
Yeah. 2 months is a lot.
Oh, yeah. 2 months is excessive, especially when they've not been together, married all that long either.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like there has been any communication in that period. So, especially with like the ideas of, you know, should we jump right back into moving in together and stuff like that, like actually getting discussed in this episode. I was like, oh my God, you have not even spoken. Like 2 months is a long time to go from no contact to everything goes back to normal.
Yeah, I will say, though, I would also move out for 2 months if out of nowhere my newly wedded wife decides we're going to bring in 6 pet tarantulas. I'm out. I mean, she's into animals, so like they seem like they're down with it. I would be so out. I would not be okay with 6 tarantulas.
Would 4 be okay?
Scally, 1 would be too much. Not my pet.
It's a week and a half per tarantula.
Yeah. Listen, I'll take 2 more cats to the house, make it 4 cats before I get 1 tarantula, half a tarantula even.
That's valid, I guess. I don't know. I'm not scared of tarantulas, but I don't need them as a pet either.
Fair. So now we start digging into what is going, why is this happening? Why is she staying at her friend Kay's? Turns out that she found out that potentially Rob had spoken to way more girls than he had admitted to. So the big storyline with them, and part of the main reason why they had drama in their season, was that Rob was, I guess, sexting or receiving lewd videos and pictures from other women. And instead of shutting it down, he was placating and responding to some of them. And then when he got caught, he made a whole excuse about how it's not a big deal. And also we were long distance and yada, yada. Anyway, then that got solved, allegedly. And they seem to move towards positive grounds.
Yeah.
But and listen, I think we're both like tech capable. So my question is, the way he says it is, she factory reset his phone and found more messages. I'm pretty sure when you factory reset a phone, it wipes it clean.
Yeah. I don't understand what he's saying here. I thought that this was one of the openings I was alluding to where I felt a little bit gaslit, where Rob is like, yeah, I online cheated and I never denied it. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. This first of all happened multiple times. You if still anything, currently are denying it.
Yeah. Like, if anything, you denied it a little too much and were mad that she wasn't moving on.
Yeah. So to find out that like, oh, there was more stuff that she found out, and I don't deny that, but also I still am, again, later this episode. Like, I was discouraged because I was already, like, rooting against this couple. So to find out that even more was happening was obviously concerning.
I figured it out. Okay, so tell me if this theory works. You know how you can have your phone synced up to, like, the cloud and your Google account for passwords and all what have you? If he had unsynced and then like deleted a bunch of stuff, but it was still on his like cloud, and then when they reset the phone and he signs back in, it syncs everything back up. That could be how it got caught.
Interesting. Maybe. Yeah,
potentially. I don't know.
I like the theory.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what else do I have going on besides being Snoopy for no reason? The other part of the relationship that was a little rocky was last season, Sophie does come out and tell Rob that she is, in fact, bisexual. And Rob not only didn't understand it, but also got super defensive about it, of her being in love with women, or, you know, potentially what if she changes her mind and wants to be with a woman. And we hear him talk about what if she's in love with Kay?
Yeah. The bi erasure jumps out a lot in these like storylines here.
Oh yeah.
It's rough. I mean, I understand I understand a tiny bit of like the she's gone and living with someone that she just met for 2 months. I am like also a little confused, but I would not be like, I would not have been questioning like he would with the like, what if she wants to try with a woman, and what if she like later wants to fall in love with a woman, or what if she realizes. I think that like him having questions of what she has been doing in the last 2 months is fair, in that like you'd probably have questions of, have you been talking to someone of any gender in the last 2 months? But it feels extremely motivated by the fact that he has found out that she is bi.
Yes. And I definitely feel that way as well. The other wrench in this marriage and this relationship has been Sophie's mom. Sophie's mom has very much not been a fan of Rob from the onset. And when she even gave him a chance, things got a little awkward and then friction began and they just have not been on the same page ever since. And we find out that Sophie's mom is actually dating a man in Texas. Her mom's boyfriend's name is John from Texas, and she's visiting the boyfriend, and now her daughter lives in Austin, so they're going to meet up. So she meets up with Sophie and immediately tells the boyfriend, so you know what my nickname is for Rob? He's like, what? Rob the Knob. It's Rob the Knob. And Sophie had to go ahead and explain that knob means penis.
British slang is the best.
I love it. So undefeated.
It's so good. Sophie's mom, Claire, would have been a prime candidate for the single life for me, but I will also accept Claire and John on a future 90-day season if it progresses that far. So I was very confused but interested to find out that she also has a reason to be in Texas, and therefore I'm sure on many more episodes this season. But it's just unsurprising. Like, her mom was never going to be in on Rob because Sophie tells her everything and Rob is a knob. So why would she be in on him?
Yeah. And I think that was the moment I had my aha moment was, oh, she's going to be on the season a lot more. That's why they're here, because I feel like they like the drama when the couples are fighting in front of each other or when there's constant friction and arguing. But this couple has very much shown that when things get tough, one of them will just leave for a couple months or a couple days or a couple weeks. And then that's not as fun drama because they're just separated and talking about each other. So having mom there definitely will add fuel to the fire. And I'll tell you this, there's no shot we don't see Rob and Sophie's mom in the same room. Like, we're definitely getting that at least twice this season.
I was going to say at least two times. I'm hoping for at least four. They have at least good fighting chemistry. Like, I'm down to watch that fight.
Well, in the tell-all, it was very much, for lack of a better term, telling that these two are just on different planets with each other. She does not respect him. Some of the cast even got some sympathy for Rob having to go through it. And then when we had a very touching moment with Ashley's mom and Manuel, they panned to Rob, who was like, I'm so jealous. That's so nice. I wish I had that. So, yeah, the drama is not going to stop with these two. Let that be known.
Yeah. And it's the type of thing where, like, I understand why she doesn't want Sophie to be with Rob and like her concerns and the stuff that he has done. But then there are also other moments where it's the how could you live here and the et cetera, that, like, I'm like, all right, well, now you're wrong, too. So, you know, it's fun to watch two wrong people be wrong at the same time.
Absolutely. Now, we do find out that obviously Sophie's thinking of moving back in with Rob because she wants to give this wedding the proper try, this marriage. And Sophie's mom is obviously very much against it, but she says, we're going to meet up soon to talk and figure things out face to face. They meet up, Scally. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you and you're in a relationship and you have had problems, you've been fighting, and you're like, you know what? I haven't seen them in a couple months. We need to reconcile. Let me contact them. Are you meeting at a selfie gallery?
I feel like, honestly, if my friend said, let's go to a selfie gallery, I would probably go. But part of me feels like a boomer where I'm like, how do they stay in business? I truly don't understand it. I can't believe that this is a thing that is all over the place. Seems like an absolutely terrible place to go have a conversation and see each other for the first time in 2 months, because one of you is going to be taking pictures while the other one's standing there silently posing. Like, and maybe there's other people around also taking pictures like this. It doesn't seem like the business is getting a whole lot of action based on no one else being here, but absolutely terrible choice in my book.
See, I'm like part boomer because I immediately understood what a selfie gallery was, yes. But I actively didn't know it was a thing. If that makes sense. Like, I was like, oh yeah, selfie gallery, a place where you can take hella selfies and probably like good background and good like spots. But then an entire place devoted to that just for me doesn't compute. Because I was like, well, you know, you can go to any bar and they usually have like a section like this with like the what I call the Love Island background, right? You're like the grass, yep. The grass wall, and then the neon sign that says something like life is too short to not live it to the fullest or something. And you put two fingers up.
Soul
and
you're ties.
Like, yeah. You're like Bev's with buds heart. Like, you know, like I feel like you get that in any other setting to. And I'm very curious what the business model is for this. Cause is it like a museum where you pay admission and then you can stay as long as you want? But also, how big is it? Is it a little room? How many people can be in it at a time? If it's busy, do you have to like go through it quickly and get out? So many questions.
Yeah. I mean, it's this and many other businesses where I don't understand how they're paying for the $700,000 per square foot New York City rent. But like, like, okay, sure. It's cute and I understand the appeal, but it also just confuses me. And like, again, you want to go? My friend says, let's go. I'm like, fine. But I think it's infinitely worse for their first meetup after 2 months because of like the dynamic in which it is going to play out. Like if they were like, we haven't met up in 2 months. Let's go to a movie. Like that's the only worst situation where you have to be silent.
So the other part for me is my strategy would be I would actively take all the photos and all the little locations, but then I wouldn't post them all in one day. I would savor them and post like one every 3 months.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's the move, right? Okay.
Yeah, but it's all about the carousel now. You do like a little drop, but I don't know.
So I'm looking at this one place called Gallery Selfie Museum. It is at the Foxwood Resorts Casino because this is in Connecticut. It's closer to me. And their schedule is, you reserve 1 hour time slots with a max of 30 people per hour. And so you get an hour and it's $40 for the hour per person.
That seems cheap.
$40. How many photos is it? Like how many different things do they have?
I mean, if you have 30 people, you're paying $1.10 each for the hour. Like, it seems very affordable.
Yeah, they've got a Barbie kiosk area. They've got one that looks like there's popcorn on the walls.
All right, maybe we need to look one up for any upcoming trips we may have.
Ooh, okay. the hilarity that'll ensue when all of us have the same 7 photos just rotating in the same year.
Exactly. Perfect.
All right. Well, good to know. Yeah. So the bottom line is I still don't think I would go here. I wouldn't reserve a 1 hour slot to talk to my wife about our problems.
I mean, I guess it's classier than like getting a motel room if you want privacy. Like,
yeah,
you can rent the selfie gallery by the hour instead.
You know, maybe I'm old fashioned, but what happened to a good old coffee shop?
You want the privacy to film this conversation, I guess. Maybe this is the cheapest alternative.
I mean, listen, Ashley and Manuel did a whole lot of privacy in a coffee shop not too long ago. So,
yeah. Meanwhile, Jasmine doesn't need privacy, so they can film anywhere.
Exactly. Anything goes. Now, I can forgive the selfie gallery because, yeah, at the end of the day, we don't know their relationship. Maybe this is like an inside joke between the two of them or just something that they enjoy doing. I don't know. I don't know them. But Rob coming in without his wedding ring on is wild to me.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Sophie is like, from his perspective, he doesn't know that Sophie thinks that she lost hers allegedly. So he's like, wow, she left it at home. That was an active decision. She is choosing not to wear it. So I can understand a little bit more the I'm also not going to wear it. I'm also mad. But when you're planning the meetup and you're trying to get back together, then you should probably be wearing it.
That's what I'm saying. Because to me, it just feels like nothing but petty and trying to hurt her by doing it this way. Truly.
Yeah, no, I mean, Rob is petty. We can't be super surprised.
No, we're not really too surprised on that at all. So he comes in without ring and they're trying to talk things over. And they start arguing because she's like, you know what? If you're not going to apologize and try and move on, then I'm not going to do this with you. He's like, why are you getting mad? And you're going to like push me away again? It's because Rob is the same as he always was, which is he gets incredibly defensive And he only hears it as if she says everything is his fault. And because she's doing that, he shuts down, refuses to talk to her, and gets defensive. And then she shuts down and doesn't want to be in the same room as him. So in my notes, the last thing I wrote was, ugh, I'm over this still. Because the fight's the exact same. It's the same dance, different song.
And has been. Like, these two should have not gotten married. Like, I truly, it's like such a blindside that it did happen, to then have to watch the fallout that, like, you knew was coming is a little tiresome. But I am curious where we can develop from here, because, like, I assume if we sign them up and then we just get more of the same, like, they throw out the footage, we stop filming, right? Right? Tell me, please.
Yeah, I feel like with these two, we're going to be on the same rinse and repeat timeline. And very clearly, we hear Rob in this episode even, again, misunderstand the point of a 90-day visa, that the 90 days didn't sit well with our relationship because we needed time to figure things out and 90 days wasn't enough. It worked against us. I was like, you should have figured that out before the 90-day process. The 90-day process isn't the test period.
Yeah. Well, because they were talking about their timeline also, and I don't remember it from the original appearance, to be honest. But when Rob is like, we were long distance for 2 years, and then we decided to do like the 90-day thing. And I was like, wait, so did you start the application process after 2 years? Or you started at 6 months into your relationship, because it's going to take a year and a half or so. Like, it's going to take a long time. So how quickly did we jump on all of a sudden we're engaged?
Well, the thing is, they also lived together in, I believe, Mexico in the tell all that gets brought up. So it's like y'all already had stayed together for a while, because we had also heard them mention that, you know, you had 2 years to figure out the new place and you didn't. And he was like, well, I was spending it on the traveling and on us, and I was, you know, using it for our relationship. So to me, they've been together quite a while, so much so that the 90 days isn't a significant part of their time. That being said, obviously, and I've been on record to talk about this, that living in person is in like the main home you're staying at is vastly different than doing an Airbnb vacation thing, as I've come to learn in my relationship. But still, we knew what we were signing up for, like, by the time I landed.
Yeah. Well, you're a normal person. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm better than Rob. A wild theory. So then let's take a quick break, Scally. And then when we get back, we'll talk about our final couple from this past season. It's Ashley and Manuel. Stay with us. Okay, so Ashley and Manuel, I think I have the least amount of notes for. We open with them, and they're at a spin class that is being taught by Ashley, and Manuel is struggling in the back there.
Yeah, this might have been the only couple that it wasn't like a super active thirst trap to open. But we get Manuel definitely struggling in spin class. Ashley's absolutely killing it as an instructor. Good on her. But very funny nonetheless.
Yeah, I definitely felt like with Ashley and Manuel, they are two people who are still dealing with the exact same issues right now.
Which is wild, because, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought I heard we've been married for almost a whole year already. Yes. How long were they in the hopper for with that footage? Because like, we just watched that, and now we paused down for almost a year, and nothing's changed. Everything's the same. We're having the same exact problems.
Yeah, they've been married for a year. They obviously met over 10 years ago. So this is a relationship that's been in the works for a long time. And the main crux of their issue is still communication. And despite them being married for a year, Manuel has not been sharing his, you know, life with Ashley fully. Mainly the conversation being about the fact that she hasn't met his children or really spoken to the children or had any FaceTime with the children. And that she feels weird about it because they're his kids and they're a big part of his life. And she just doesn't know them, which I will say after being married for a year and she already knows about everything is wild to me.
It's so wild because, and it's not like, oh, I can't introduce them for whatever reason. Like, they've been introduced and yet we are still holding it back. I wonder, was she introduced as your girlfriend, fiance, wife, or was it just like, oh, this is Ashley, she also lives in the US, so like, bye Ashley. Like, I that I'm curious about, like, do they know the context of your relationship? Because if so, I'm probably even more confused.
Yeah, I would say I'm definitely unsure and confused about what's going on here, because to me, from where I'm standing, I feel like, because, you know, obviously we had like Clayton and Anna Lee had the big season ender last season where one of the big issues they had was Anna Lee didn't want to share the relationship with her dad because her dad might not approve and that would have made the relationship stop. Ultimately, she does. And it didn't work. The dad wasn't happy about it or whatever and wanted her to move. So with that being said, my question is this that kind of a situation where he can't share because he's worried that something will happen? They might not approve of her or whatever. But also, you've been married for a year and you've been dating for 10. Like, they should know at this point.
Yeah. Again, at the point that you've been married for a year, like, I got it a little bit when he first comes in, like, stuff is going on. I'm like, all right, well, maybe he doesn't want to talk about it on camera. And like, she knows a little more than we're letting on. But like, no, truly no clue. She's completely in the dark as well. I am floored that this is like, yeah, I wouldn't allow this.
No, this is a lot. This is absolutely a lot. And, you know, aside from this, she does say they still have communication issues, which doesn't surprise me, this being one of the bigger problems they have. But beyond that, they still have a lot of issues when it comes to just speaking openly about things and finances. We see on the this season on that she is $100,000 in debt. So, oh my God, things are about to go super sideways. But
it's interesting. Money has always been an issue between them. And like, I am not saying, like, it was interesting because then when, because he has to send money to his family and obviously he can't work. And that was a whole big issue where she is going to be sending money back. And it was a big debate over how much and et cetera. And now we are going to be introduced to the fact that she actually has a lot of debt and he now may be responsible for that. And so it is going to be really looking at it from like almost a fully swapped perspective of like, I don't want to be like responsible for this, which, you know, can be valid. But I'm curious to see how it goes at this point.
Yeah, I'm curious as well. And I would love to find out exactly what's going on there. But for now, we didn't get a whole lot out of them. This was kind of the main bit of their story, and we can swiftly move on.
Yeah. I mean, we did get, I think her mom was, did she throw out, like, should I hire a private detective? Hoping that doesn't happen. But
oh God, I really hate when the private detective gets involved in these storylines.
Not ideal.
No, but I'm not about
it. In case it does, I wanted to flag it up.
Yeah. Okay. So then let's move on and talk about a couple that we are familiar with, obviously, with the nature of Happily Ever After. What we've not seen in a little while, Scally, it's Nicole and Mahmood. They're back on this season.
Another one that I felt very gaslit.
Tell me why.
I mean, in the retelling, it says like essentially that it makes it seem as if Nicole has been trying to make it work in Egypt for the last 4 years and that could not right. work. And I mean, maybe she tried to make it work on two separate occasions for a very short period of time over the last 4 years or over however long. I do not believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that Nicole gave Egypt a full 4 year trial and it just couldn't work.
No. And combine that in addition to the entire storyline being, I felt like I couldn't express myself and I couldn't do things my way. And now he's going to have to do things my way here. We're trying my way now. It really felt like in like a swift minute, I was reminded of all the things that irritated me with this couple that it was like, she wanted to be with him. She agreed to all the stuff and then was like, actually, I don't want to do it this way, which I was like, fine, then y'all should break up. But they haven't. And now he's coming. And also, like, she's getting dressed for the airport and she's wearing, and obviously they have to tell us like four different ways that Nicole is a fashion person and is all up on the fashion side of things. And she was like, yeah, you know, my leg is showing a little bit and my stomach's kind of exposed, but this is a compromise. This is fine. This works. And I thought, we'll see. We still haven't seen Mahmoud yet in this episode. The episode ends with them seeing each other at the airport, but not really talking. So we haven't gotten that first batch yet. But then also she's like, I'm going to kiss him and he's going to be okay with it because we're allowed to do that here. And I thought, yeah, I understand that in Egypt, PDA is frowned upon or you're not meant to do it. But he might just be opposed to PDA, period. So you can be like, I'm sorry, it's customary here for us to neck at the airport. Like, that's not going to be a thing.
There are some words to describe that. I would say consent is nice. And maybe if he doesn't want to, we're still not going to be kissing at the airport.
Yeah. So I'm very curious to see where these two go and how this is going to pan out for them. Fingers are crossed because, you know, we did see the segment of him saying goodbye to his mom and his mom was very sad. He's very sad. But his mom did say, you know, we're not going to stand in his way if he wants, like, if he wants to go somewhere else to be happy, like, we're all for it. I am rooting for them. I'm just skeptical AF on these two.
I am curious on this couple now. Like, again, you know, she moved, thought she could handle it, and she could not. And like, you know, if that's truly it, you are within your right to say, like, I changed my mind. Yeah, people can change their mind. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that he is then obligated to come try now that he has decided to come try living in America. If and when he were to decide, you know what, I tried and I'm also not good, then, like, also valid. I don't think that she's probably going to take that for an answer very well, but we will see.
And I'm especially sensitive because of my, you know, Muslim upbringing, mm-hmm. when they have this dynamic on 90 Day where the Muslim counterpart is moving to the US and they're going to, like, I remember from Mahmoud, and I may be wrong, Mahmoud is relatively religious and is going to, you know, have expectations or wants that I don't necessarily think Nicole is going to back. But then my worry is that Nicole is going to be like, well, you came to the US, this is how we do it here. And then they're going to edit it to make it seem like he is being ridiculous and she is valid. Because and don't get me wrong, there's definitely going to be arguments where I think she's valid and he's ridiculous. Make no mistake. But even this first episode got me a little bit worried on the portrayal of this couple moving forward.
Yeah, no, I think it's a super valid concern because I think that it's a issue that we've seen in 90 Day before with not just this couple, but others. And I think that when it is him moving to the US, that is probably going to be exacerbated, unfortunately.
Yeah, so that's potentially going to be a tough thing for me and for us moving forward, but we'll see how it goes. Yeah, again, the episode one, there's really nothing to go off of here. So again, I'm rooting for them, fingers crossed, we're happy with it, but we shall see. What's interesting is I don't have this in my notes, maybe you caught it on the This Season On. I don't have anything on Nicole and Mahmoud. Were they not featured on the This Season On?
You know, I did not catch it.
I didn't see it either. Yeah, also, Patrick and Thais not on there, which we haven't seen yet, but they weren't on that either. Whereas Angela and Michael, Big Ed and Liz were all featured on the This Season On.
Yeah,
heavy. And as was our final couple here, Emily and Kobe are back, Scally, and they had the opener for the episode. First frame we saw was from them. And speaking of thirst traps, take it away.
Yeah, like I said, we are opening on Emily's toes. He's coming in. They're going to have a quickie interrupted by mom yelling, dinner's ready. So thrust right back into the lifestyle of Emily and Kobe.
Can you tell us what Emily said when Kobe walked in?
I remember when they were leaving the room when she told him to put his boner away, but otherwise
no, that is not what I was asking. She said bon appetit, Poppy.
Do I like Emily and Kobe? Like, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I remember being frustrated at times with their relationship. It was kind of tough to stomach at times. But right now, with the lineup we have, we might be standing this couple if they play their cards right.
Exactly. I definitely remember rough episodes for these two.
Oh, yeah.
But in the grand scheme of 90 Day Fiancé, like, a four on the relationship scale sometimes looks like a shining example of healthiness. So
it's a glaring 10 in comparison. Well, the interesting thing with Emily and Kobe is they're one of the couples that I've actively, it's been a minute since we've seen them, and I've actively not seen anything when I'm sleuthing the subreddit or anything about them, really. But they have been together for a while. And they have two children now. They did have Cobin when we first met them. They have Scarlett, who's 2 years old. But they're still living in her parents' basement. They have not left. They're in the same spot we met them last time. And so they're still there. But the big and interesting part of this relationship is that they're about to go to Cameroon to see his family. And his family's going to meet her for the first time. They're going to meet their grandchildren for the first time. So this is a pretty huge deal. And I'm actually very excited that we're going on this trip with them.
Yeah, me too. I definitely think that it should be fun. Their kids are going to Cameroon for the first time. She's meeting his parents and his family for the first time. I believe her parents are coming as well. So I'm very interested so far. This is one where I'm like, I'm happy you're back, even though I did not necessarily expect to see them back on 90 Day Fiancé.
Same. They wouldn't have been on my head in my list. I wouldn't have thought about it. So I'm not 100% sure. I mean, obviously there are moments of it that I'm already like, ugh. Because like they talked a little bit about how he mentioned, she is pretty dominant. And in my culture, women are more submissive. And she was like, well, they're going to meet me and they're going to like it. So we'll see how this all goes with the two of them. But I do foresee potential some fights on the horizon for sure. And we're probably going to get reminded of the icky moments we didn't like this couple. But seeing them with their children was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that was fun, where they're like, one of them's reading a bedtime story, the other one's putting the other one to bed. Like, they're all, dividing the duties. They're packing in the shoe organizers to pack for the trip. I think it was a 25-hour travel day they had ahead of them. So that stress could really break anyone. So if they even make it to Cameroon, thumbs up for them.
Yeah, no. So we'll see how it plays out with them. Should be fun. It's kind of like getting with Happily Ever After being a weird hybrid show where we're getting the before the 90 day or the other way aspect of going to the other country. We had the beginning with Sophie on her own, kind of single life-ish. And, with some of these other couples we're about to see coming in soon, they already have spin-off. Like Patrick and Thais, his brother was on the single life this past season. So we'll see how all of that plays out. And I would say, as of right now, Emily and Kobe are one of the couples I'm more keen on seeing this season.
Hey, I mean, looking at the lineup, I don't know if I have anyone that could beat them at this point.
Well, let's see. So there are a couple of couples that we've not yet seen on this episode. To be specific, four other couples that we've not seen yet. We have Lauren and Alexi, we have Patrick and Thais, and we have Angela and Michael and Big Ed and Liz. Can I say something about this?
Please.
With how much they keep putting these two couples that I mentioned at the end on the shows so often, I was actively surprised that they weren't on episode one.
Yes, but I thought that it was like, all right, let's trick the audience into thinking that the season's going to be palatable. We'll hide the warts of the season. They'll bring them in later.
It was just, I was surprised. At least we didn't see one of them, but not in a please show me them, because I know I'm going to see enough of them this season for sure. But I'm curious. Nine couples is actively a lot of couples for the show. So are we going to get a couple that's going to not really be there often? Or one of them getting introduced later in the season? Or are we getting like a weird high, everyone gets a little bit of footage per episode? I'm not sure, but these episodes are still going to be an hour and a half. So I'm extremely curious as to how the hour and a halves are going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there is like, I don't think this is what they're doing, but there is a world in which they're like, all right, we got to get Big Ed and Angela back because they're the big names and we'll draw them in, but we're only putting them on so many episodes. They got the higher appearance fees. Their storylines are played out, but we're bringing in the names, right? That could happen. Don't break my, my hopes.
Well, see, for example, my curiosity would be, and I hate that I'm saying this, but if I'm going to look at their storylines, and remove my personal feelings on the toxicity they bring, Angela and Michael, if Michael is truly in the US, that is a whole new story that we've not seen yet.
Yeah.
So I'm open to seeing that play out. It's Big Ed and Liz and their will they, won't they, we're getting married, we're not, we hate each other, we don't, we love each other, we don't. That is just, we've seen every element of that. And outside of them breaking up and moving on, I don't know where we go with their story. But at the very least with Angela and Michael, he's actively going to be in the States. That's a whole different storyline.
Yeah. Well, the will they, won't they, will they break up? I hope they break up. So, you know, for many of the couples on many of these seasons, that is my hope.
And it never works out. And instead, we see them in every other season always.
Yeah.
So that being said, Scally, thank you so much for coming on. I had a good time. And I love that we've locked you in now to be coming in more frequently this season.
For now. No, I love the 90 Day Fiance pod. It's one of my favorites to do. I love coming in here and wreaking havoc. So it is always a great time. So thank you for having me.
Of course, I appreciate you being on, Sky. Let the people know, though, where can they find you? What are the projects you have going on? I know you're a busy man these days.
Oh, just so busy. I am on Twitter at Brian_Scally. I'm also on Twitch at twitch.tv/bscally. Myself and Matt Liguori are gearing up to cover All-Stars 4 over on From the Challenge on the Free Agents podcast, doing some preseason podcast potentially over there. So definitely check that out. And I'll let you plug our shared appearance that we did earlier.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Scally. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That's where I am when I'm not podcasting. However, podcasting is getting a little lighter, but still busy as well in some ways. Like Scally mentioned, him and I, we were both on the latest Big Brother Canada recap episode. It was an emergency pod. They added a new one into the schedule and we were there to talk about the latest ongoings in the house. So that was fun. And myself and Liana are currently talking about The Masked Singer. We have done two episodes. We're doing a draft on the next episode, so that'll be fun for us to do. And my other ventures that I've been doing in the last couple months, Traders has wrapped up. But if you are watching Traders UK, you can go back and listen to the recaps for those that I did early this year, late last year with the lovely Annabelle. Those are available for you. And otherwise, no, we're chilling. We're chilling for now. We are in the, for me personally, I am in my more quiet season. But we'll see how quiet that really is, because I feel like I've not really had a quiet season in a long ass time. So I don't know where that goes. One thing's for sure, though, 90 Day Fiance is going to be anything but quiet. So I'll be here every week talking about this wild, wild show. And I hope y'all are enjoying the content. This is the destination on the Hot Mess Express. I'll be back next week to talk about episode 2. Brace myself for impact. See what that brings us. But for now, thank you so much for joining us. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.